The reading this morning is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and child, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And can we just say a little prayer before Janet talks to us about that quite tricky passage? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Janet and for the blessing she is to our church family. Please bless her as she talks to us this morning about the cost of following you. Give her your words. Open our ears to listen to those words, Father. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Lizette, thank you very much. Does anyone here watch Strictly? I suspect quite a few of us have watched Strictly. Now, after the first dance is finished, the dancers go upstairs where Claudia Winkleman is there, and she interviews the very first dancer. And then they tell you, if you like this pair of dancers, you can vote for them. Here are the terms and conditions. Now, they've really jazzed up the way they do it on Strictly Come Dancing. If you see it, they sort of bring on the stage this doorway or curtains, and then it opens up and reveals some random person or celebrity who comes forward and in a very sort of sing-song sort of way says the terms and conditions are, ask the bill payer's permission, and don't vote when the time is over, it won't be counted. I think you all know what I mean. The terms and conditions. And they're really, really clear that if you vote for these dancers on Strictly Come Dancing, this is how you do it. These are the terms and conditions. And this is what the cost is of telephoning to vote for your favourite dancer. They're really clear on the BBC about the terms and conditions. And in the same way, Jesus is really clear about the terms and conditions for not just following him, but on being his disciple. So the passage starts, large crowds were travelling with Jesus. And then he turns to them. Large crowds were following him. You remember this term? We're looking at the second half of his public ministry. Jesus is moving from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem. He has set his face for Jerusalem. And on the way, he's picked up all sorts of random people are following him. But followers are not necessarily disciples. Don't know if anyone here is on social media. I'm not on Facebook, but apparently people count how many people follow them. And they go around boasting, I've got hundreds following me, or I've got thousands following me. But when you go into it, a follower is just somebody who once said, oh, I'm going to follow that person either on Twitter or on Facebook or Instagram. But it doesn't necessarily mean they agree with everything the person they're following does. It doesn't mean they want to necessarily be like them. It doesn't mean that they're a real disciple of that person. It's just a fairly casual way of following someone. And I think it's the same in this passage. All these crowds of people, they're just following Jesus. But they're not really, really committed to being his disciples. And so he turns on around and speaks to them. And he talks to his followers. He doesn't just want a large quantity. He wants a quality. And he's being really upfront about the cost of being a disciple. Now, if I wanted to win friends and influence people, the very last thing I would say to them is, you've got to hate your family, you've got to get ready for a really nasty death, and you've got to give up all your possessions. That's not the way I would go about trying to win friends and influence people. But that's a parody of what Jesus actually says. So let's look now at Luke 14. So do look at the passage in front, the cost of being a disciple. I found this such a challenging talk, challenging myself. Jesus is looking for wholehearted commitment. He's looking for disciples, not just followers. He tells two short parables in verses 28 to 30. He talks about building a tower. In verse 31 and 32, he talks about going to war. And the parables are about count the cost, weigh up the balance. I don't know if there's anyone else besides me who quite likes lists for and against. I can see we've got an accountant here. They love lists, don't they? All the fours, all the against. What's on this side? What's on the other side? And Jesus is saying, count the cost. Weigh up. Look at the balance. Don't just make a really hasty decision. Oh, I'll just be a follower of Jesus. Count up the cost of following Jesus. And so he talks about you count up how much money you've got. Can I afford to build this tower? Or you count up the numbers against you in that war situation and decide instead of war to work for peace. So what are these terms and conditions to be a disciple of Jesus? There are three of them. Of course there are three of them. It's a talk. Number one, we're called to love Jesus first, even above our own family, our nearest and dearest. We're told to carry the cross. We're told to give up everything. First, to love Jesus first, to bear the cross, to give up everything. So let's start with verse 28. If anyone comes to me, anyone, and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Hate means to love less than. It's a Semitic, it's a Jewish expression, to love less than. We've always got to look at the whole of Jesus' teaching, and the whole of his teaching is about loving our neighbours, about loving our enemies. So Jesus isn't literally saying, hate your father, your mother, your brothers or sisters. He's using this expression that means love less to say you need to love Jesus even more than your nearest and dearest. He's exaggerating, if you like, to make a point. Jesus says, love me first, even over the love you have for those nearest and dearest to you. Make Jesus even nearer and dearer than your very own family. Jesus takes precedence. We're called to love him even more than those closest to us, to put him first. We're called to love God so much that in comparison, love for others is almost like hate. We're told to put our love for him even above our love for ourselves, for our own comfort and reputation. It's a tricky one when within your own family others also follow Christ, but sometimes it's even trickier when the rest of your nearest and dearest don't follow Christ. How can we love God and put him first when it feels like I might be neglecting my family, my nearest and dearest? How can I give money away when the family or others are also wanting it? How can I spend time going to church when there might be calls on my time to go elsewhere? Yes, we are called to love our families. We are called to love our nearest and dearest. But we're called to love Jesus even more. And that's something for each one of us. We have to work what that means in practice. We're called to love him even more than our own life. It means being prepared to die for Jesus. If we were living in North Korea as a Christian, this would be a reality, that we'd be sent to a labor camp and we would die. But on a very small scale, what does it mean to love him even more than our own life? It might be just a simple thing like, do I go to church again this Wednesday or this Sunday? Or do I finish watching this telly program? Do I read my Bible this morning? Or shall I, this is my temptation, go and make a cup of tea and drink it instead? There are all sorts of little everyday decisions we face, but we're called to love him first. So the first terms and conditions, love Jesus above everything, your family, yourself. I told you it was a hard sermon, didn't I? I did warn you this. Right, number two, carry the cross, bear the cross. Verse 27. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. One of the particularly horrible things about crucifixion is that the Romans made the prisoners actually carry on their backs the wooden beam to the site of execution, where they nailed or tied you to that beam and then hoisted it up on the post to form a cross, just to make it extra, extra painful. This idea about carrying our cross, this idea of suffering, that as we follow him as a disciple, we often find there are painful experiences, for many crucifixions, things that we go through, crosses that we have to bear, and we're called to suffer those without becoming bitter or complaining. For each person, carrying our cross may be something different. It might be carrying a chronic illness or complaint. It might be carrying a problem or a disability. How can we bear those crosses without resentment? There's a film I went to recently with Sue Headlam called Little Women. I don't know if anyone else has seen Little Women in it, which is the story of the four March girls. And one of the young girls, Beth, is very sick. She's weak and sickly. And the book and the film make it really clear that she bears her sickness without complaining, without resentment. And other people, the other sisters, love spending time with Beth. And there isn't a miracle. She doesn't get better. She dies. She bears her cross without bitterness, without complaining. So are we prepared to suffer for Christ, to carry that cross? Jesus wants people who will give up themselves, carry their cross, and follow him. But as I was preparing this, I was reminded of Simon of Cyrene. Do you remember? Jesus was so badly beaten before he even got to the cross, he was too weak to carry the cross. And so the Romans grabbed this random passerby called Simon, who came from Cyrene, and said, "Can you help carry his cross?" Sometimes there are friends that can help us, who can come alongside us and help us carry that cross. it is okay to share our sufferings, to help one another. So what are those crosses that we carry through life? So we're called to love Jesus first, to carry the cross, and then finally to give up everything. So it gets harder and harder. In the same way, verse 33, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. And that last requirement is hard, to give up everything, to be prepared to give up things, possessions, careers, money. Don't know if you're aware, I can say this because I'm a self-supporting minister, but ministers, vicars that are paid, they earn about 20, 25k a year. You know, they have degrees, they're really experienced. If they were doing another job, they would earn so much more money. Again, if you look at a lot of mission partners, they could have earned so much money and risen to the top of their professions, but they have given up a lot to follow Jesus. I think of people like our former curate, Andy Murray, and Emma, who gave up finding a curacy in a really nice, comfortable living, if you like, and are living in Lawrence Weston in the vicarage there. Christians have given up sometimes the right to live in a really nice place, and they might live in a rough place. Others have given up their savings, given things away to charity. Giving up everything, it's rather a comprehensive command, isn't it? But it's not just things. I think it's giving up my way of life. It's giving up my right, my course of action, my wish, my hope, my desire. We're asked to give them up to God for his wishes, his desires, his hopes. So what is God asking us to give up? The right to self-determine my life. That's the way I'm going to go. The right to decide what I want to do with my life. We're called to give up everything. And that's really hard in a world where my rights are so lauded and praised. So, as I warned you, a pretty hard sermon. We're called to love Jesus first, even above our nearest and dearest. We're called to carry the cross, and we're called to give up everything. If you have a look at the first hymn we sung today and look at those last two verses, I need no riches. I don't need man's empty praise. You are my inheritance through all my days. All of your treasure to me you impart. High King of heaven, the first in my heart. I think that verse beautifully exemplifies the putting Jesus first and not needing any riches. That call to follow him, to count the cost and decide, to put him first, to love him more than anything else, to carry our cross and give up everything. But have a look at that very last verse. There is a bit of hope here. High King of heaven, when battle is done, grant heaven's joy to me, bright heaven's sun. Christ of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. So at the end of our lives, when the battle is over, whatever has befallen us, still be my vision, O ruler of all, and grant me, and this is what we look forward to, the joy of heaven, High King of heaven, eternal life promised to all who believe, all who follow him, all who are his disciples. Let's be quiet now and pray and let God bring to mind. Let's be like those people who count the costs, the fors and the againsts. Let's pray for those who find that really difficult. Let's pray that our love for him will be increased, will be even more than others we love. Let's pray for strength and help to carry our cross, however that looks for each one of us. And let's pray that we will be ready to give up everything, including our own rights, to not just be a follower, but to be a disciple of Jesus. Lord, help us, we pray. May we do more than just be a mere follower. Help us to be your disciples. Help us to follow you to the end. In the name of Jesus, amen.